Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Relationship University. You guys excited to be here? Woo! All right, awesome. Well, I just want to welcome both of our on-campus audience as well as our live stream audience. We're so excited you guys could join us today. So we have some exciting people for you. We're not live streaming? Oh, so do I wait or do I just keep going? Should I wait, though? Because there's announcements for them. This is great. Thanks, everyone. Well, hi, on-campus audience. I'm going to wait till these guys tell us we're ready. So until then, I'm going to give a couple announcements for you, and then once we're live, I'll probably redo that greeting. They're going to figure that out. So for you guys who are on campus, I want to let you guys know, I really want to encourage you that Relationship University is an interactive time. What do I mean by that? That means I want your input. How many of you guys have a cell phone? You guys have a cell? Okay, good. So believe it or not, I'm not going to tell you to put your cell phone away. I'm actually going to encourage you to have it out. Not so you can Facebook, but so you guys can text us your questions. So as you hear the message being taught today, be sure to text. We'll have the number up on the screen for you, but be sure to text us your questions. We want to take some time at the end of this to answer your questions. How are we doing? We're still on campus. Got it. So I just want to encourage you to have your phones ready for that, but also really listen in. Obviously, there's going to be some amazing content, things that's going to bless you, minister to you. The Holy Spirit's going to speak them things. You're probably going to want to write some things down, take some notes. But we encourage you with the questions part because we want to take time to answer your questions as well. So Relationship University, obviously this is not just about how do I get married if I'm single. Relationship University is about how to have healthy relationships in all areas of your life, amen? But it's also about how you can learn to also encourage others to have healthy relationships, right? Whether that's between parents, children, siblings, coworkers, friends, right? All aspects of relationships. Then I'd encourage you that we also have Relationship University online. And what I mean by that is that all of our past Relationship Universities we've had on campus, we also have available for you to go watch at awmi.net/relationship. Not an S at the end. I keep always wanting to do that. So it's relationship. And then you can go and watch the archives of the ones in the past. And then also want to let you know, for those of you on campus, I know you know this very well, but I'll tell you again. We just completed our amazing new product, Relationship University, which has over, how many hours is this again? It doesn't say. 56 hours of curriculum, I knew that. So there's over 56 hours of curriculum about how to do relationships, all the different types of relationships, so how you can expect, experience, and empower healthy relationships in your life. Amen? And then I just want to let you know as well, so if you have questions, and please, I encourage you to have questions, because, I mean, you have the honor of getting them answered today, right? So you can text us at 719-212-2555. You can also email your questions in to livequestions@awmcares.com. All your questions are anonymous, meaning when we receive them, we don't know who they come from. So you can ask away any of those questions you're concerned. I don't want someone to know it was me. Don't worry, we don't. All right, so feel free to write your questions in. It will remain anonymous. And then I know we don't have anyone up, but I want to actually give her all her space to minister. So flag us when you're live. and then are you guys good with the live? Can you actually scroll the where they can send in live questions? Yeah. Yeah, that one. Thank you. Perfect. See, they're ahead of me. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to introduce you. And the beautiful thing is most of you here know her. But we have with us today Sue Nettman. Now, Sue wears multiple hats, but one of the biggest hats that she wears is she gets to be the executive assistant to Pastor Greg Moore, who is our director of Army. Sue, also with her husband, also teaches a course here, and I believe it's in second year, on activating the Holy Spirit, right? Activating the gifts inside of you. Powerful course. I've sat on it a few times, not just as a student, but like as a staff member, just wanting to grow more and learning how to activate the Holy Spirit. And then Sue and her husband, Brian, also run a ministry, Roots and Wings Ministry, which is a powerful ministry doing amazing work. And so we're excited for you to hear from her today, and she's going to teach you today on dealing with the aftermath of failed relationships. So I will be listening very closely, amen. It's going to be a powerful time. So please welcome with me Miss Sue Nutman.
Turn me on from the back. There we go. Thank you, Tanera. And thank you, everybody, for coming out and listening to this message. I know probably some of you saw the title and thought, maybe I won't bother. Because we are going to be talking about dealing with the aftermath of failed relationships. Now, some of you might be thinking that's an interesting subject to talk on. But I'm hopefully going to take you on a journey, and I'm really going to believe there is going to be freedom, not only here, but freedom online, and people are going to be able just to see clearly through the importance of just not carrying around a load of baggage with us. One of the main things I'm going to be focusing on is soul ties. Now, some of you might be thinking, what is that and where is that and what does that mean? Unfortunately, our soul ties are connected to our soul. And we know our spirit man is glorious with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you like to walk in your spirit man 100% of the day, every single day? I know I would. Maybe some of you do, and in which case, then that's great. But I know that sometimes I can slip back over into my soulish realms, and that's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And boy, sometimes they do control us, don't they? Or they control Sue anyway. So a soul tie, just to give you a bit of a background about a soul tie, it's a chain link in our soul realms between two people that link their souls together. You may have noticed that certain people's actions or opinions have a greater effect on you. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Soul ties can either be positive or negative, and in some cases, both. But they do keep us connected to people. God preserves godly soul ties. And I want you to understand that. Those are our healthy relationships between parents, husbands, wives, brothers and sisters, friends, those God connections. So there are some healthy soul ties. And it's like it says in Genesis, you know, the son shall leave his father, the man shall leave father and mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that's the scripture that's used so much in a marriage service. On another one, in 1 Samuel 18:1, it talks about the relationship between David and Saul and how that was a godly friendship, but they were connected. So there are some really good soul ties that we need to go through life. So this isn't always a negative thing. So I do want you to sort of understand that. But sometimes when we've had unhealthy soul ties, and these can be due to relationship breakdowns. Now, not always are these relationship breakdowns due to just a relationship that's involved a sexual relationship. They can be just emotional breakdowns, but they can make us codependent on other people. And those relationships, as I say, they're not just sexual relationships outside of marriage. They can be things to do with the occult. They can be various types of abuse you've been through, pornography, failed work relationships, failed ministry relationships. Oh my days, is she going there? Failed friendships that leave you sour or a bitter taste in your mouth. So they're not always involving what a lot of people think they are connected to, which is the sexual side, even though that is very prominent. And these relationships, you know, they become those mistakes we make. Now, I would love to stand up in front of you today and say I have lived the perfect life. But I would be lying, and I'm not going to do that. So if I had maybe given my life to Jesus at 3 and had no broken relationships in my life. All my friendships would have been absolutely wonderful. I would have had no disagreements with somebody. I would have even walked down the aisle as a virgin. If I could have said that, then wow, I think I would be having a healthy lifestyle. But unfortunately, we've all made mistakes because of the world that we live in, especially like me, if you came later to life to understanding Jesus and understanding what he paid for. Because a lot of the times we can make these choices with the works pressure or the society we're in. I mean, the world is full of all the ungodly stuff which they tell us is conforming. And sometimes we are very much like sheep, but in a bad way. If you watch a field of sheep, if one goes off in another direction, the other follows, they follow. They follow around. Well, that's good if the one going in the one direction is going in the right place, but if it's not, then the others all end up in a ditch with that one person, yeah? So this is where I want to sort of draw this picture, is the fact that, you know, we do make mistakes, but it's not just making mistakes when we're unsaved, okay? When you read the Bible, it's encouraging to see all those people that were trying to follow God but actually still making mistakes or wrong decisions or wrong choices in relationships. And it's an encouragement for us to read that and realize that actually there is a way out, because God gave us two things. Jesus came for repentance and redemption. And once you understand the power of those two, then you can get through some of the mistakes or choices that you've made in life. The thing is, with relationships, there's always two things that you deal with a failed relationship, whether it's a relationship that's involved with, you know, an intimate relationship that you've had with somebody, whether it's a friendship relationship, whether it's a working relationship. There are two things that you can deal with if a relationship goes sour on you. And one is rejection, and the other is guilt. Rejection if it's coming to you, and guilt if you've made that choice. So those are the two things that we can deal with, because, you know, nobody likes to be rejected. And sometimes people feel very guilty when they're the one doing the rejection. So we sort of build up a bit of an interesting portfolio, don't we, as we go through life with these sort of relationships or decisions that we make. And sometimes we can be like, you know, that's okay. You can walk through it and you can really take it to God and you can deal with it. And a lot of us know the power of forgiveness and what that can do in relationships to release you. But sometimes there's just those niggly things that we hang on to that we're not quite sure. Why do we always react that way when somebody says something to us? There's something that stirs up inside. It's that not so nice gut feeling you get. And you're like, why am I reacting this way again? So there are certain situations that you must sometimes, that you can find yourself in, which have not been your fault or you have not caused them. Over the years, I've ministered to some people that have been through some really tragic abuse in their lives, whether that's sexual abuse from a family member, emotional abuse from a partner, you know, all these types of things. And then sometimes I sit with people and I'm just like, wow, how do you live having had that type of a relationship? But again, it's understanding the power of what Jesus has given us, because he really doesn't look at our soul. What he sees is our spirit, and that's what he wants to build up and for us to focus on. And it was interesting, I was reading something the other day, and it was from atheist, and her name was Margarita Laxey. And she said, and she was an atheist philosopher. It's quite an interesting job. And she said, what I envy most about Christians is forgiveness, your forgiveness. How Christians can forgive one another because they believe they've been forgiven. I don't have that because I don't believe. I thought that was quite a powerful statement of acknowledging the fact that she could see how Christians can walk through stuff and relationships they've been in through forgiveness. But she herself wasn't able to because she didn't believe in a savior. That's an interesting thing to think about. So we need to receive the revelation from Jesus of our own personal value and wealth and healing in these areas, especially if these areas have been abuse or damage to ourselves physically, emotionally, and mentally. And the power of understanding Jesus's heart and Jesus's worth for you is far better than living in the past. Living in the past of the memories that can attach themselves to you. So I want to go back to talking about, I don't know whether I did the first statement. I'm going to read this first statement to you. And it says, every gardener knows just by chopping off weeds at ground level, you won't stop them growing. You have to dig up the bad root. Hebrews 12 talks about the root of bitterness and how that can go into our hearts. So I was thinking about this the other day, this message, as I was driving home. I actually live on the east side of Colorado Springs, so I have about an hour's journey up and down the hill. And as I was, and I drive, have to drive across the city to get to my house. And as I was driving, I was thinking about all the things that I wanted to say, because God dropped the title into my heart when I was talking about sharing this message. And I was like, okay, that's an interesting title. But I had all these things I was thinking about, and I was driving along going, Lord, I'm not quite sure how this is all going to fit together. And I came to a set of traffic lights and stopped, and in the meridian, in the center where I was looking across there, and in between the broken bits of brick and gravel, all these weeds were sprouting up. And I said to myself, why is it so easy for those weeds to grow? And as I said that, the Lord dropped into my heart. He said, Mark 4, seed and good soil. And I was like, oh yeah, well, we all know that parable. And he said, no, think about the soil. So I'm going to read the parable of the sower to you. I'm reading it out the Amplified. Chapter 4, verse 3 says, listen, a sower went out to sow seed, and as he was sowing, some seed fell on the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocks, where there was not too much soil, and immediately a plant sprung up, but because the soil had no depth, and when the sun came out, the plant was scorched, and because it had no root, it dried up and withered. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Another seed fell on good soil, and these plants grew and increased their yield and crop and produced 30, 60, 100 times more. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed to my words. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, yeah, I get that. We are all told how important it is to have good soil in our hearts, to feed ourselves with the word. That what makes the good soil. So we understand the good soil. But I said to the Lord, so what are you telling me about the seeds that fall on the bad soil or the thorns or the area where it looks rough and nothing grows but these weeds? I challenge you to take a walk out and look at where the weeds grow in the side of the road. They grow in the most amazing places where there looks like there's no soil. So as I was meditating on this, I kept reading over this, and it suddenly came to me, bad seeds do not need good soil. And I thought, ooh, that's deep. Come on, Jesus, what you're showing me through this. Because we always go to the good seed. And sometimes we don't think about these other seeds that fall in this other ground. But when you look at the weeds, they can thrive in unhealthy soil. They can thrive in dry soil. And what the Lord was showing me is certain areas of our heart can be like the ground of where these weeds grow. And have you ever tried to pull up a weed? They're crafty. You know, you can pull them up and their root will break off and you're like, oh, I haven't got that because I've left some of it down inside the soil. So this got me thinking because I'm a gardener and I was like, okay, Lord, let me see how you're going with this. So he said, okay, what do you do to your good soil, Sue? I'm like, over here, it's very hard work in Colorado, but I dig it and I feed it and I put nutrients in it and I turn it over and I love on it and I care for it and I speak to it. But I said, none of that happens to the weeds or the bad soil, the stuff that's at the side of the road. And he said, no, because when you've sown a bad seed or something's happened and that root's gone down deep into your heart, you've forgotten about it. But that's where it can grow strong and it can fester up and it can still be there because they are very deceptive things, weeds. I then was thinking about this a bit more, and this came to mind to me about the bindweed. And I just want to show you this picture and show you a picture of what a bindweed looks like. Do you know what bindweed is? That's probably an English thing. I don't even know what it's called in America. This is bindweed. Oh, it looks really pretty. Yeah? So this is bindweed. I'm not sure what you call it in America, but it is over here as well because I've seen it. And I can remember picking this as a little girl and making bunches out of it and then giving it to my mum. And she's like, okay, thank you. You know, so it's a very pretty flower and it's got this leaf and it sort of grows and entwines itself a bit like an ivy. So I thought I'm going to do a bit of research and find out what it says about a bindweed, okay? The problem with bindweed is its rapidly growing stems, which wind themselves around other flowers and your vegetables and that type of thing and borders. And what it does to your flowers, vegetables and hedging is it literally strangles them. I was like, okay. And they are very difficult to get rid of. You can't just pull them up. If you start to pull them up, they have a root system that when you break it, it multiplies. So even as you pull them up, they will multiply under the ground and then come up somewhere further. Even if you spray chemicals on them, their root system is that strong that they will still come up somewhere else. So do you know how you have to get rid of these pretty looking weeds? I'm going to give you a gardening lesson now. So you put a stake or like a bamboo cane in the ground by them. and they are trained in the natural to grow up something. So they start to grow up there, and once they start to grow up the pole, you put a plastic bag over them and sellotape it, tape it tight at the end so no air can get in. And the way you kill these is you suffocate them. And I was like, that is cool. So what God showed me was, yeah, and when you've got those ungodly soul ties, is we have to suffocate them because they are not doing us any good. We have to suffocate that memory. We have to get rid of it because it's growing in a place in your heart that needs to be healed. God wants you to have a heart that can be open to receive from him. And I think it's really important to understand that sometimes we can just forget about these things. If you saw this at the side of the road, you'd be like, oh, that's pretty. I'd just let that grow. But what you have to understand is underneath the flowers on the top is a complete root system that will get into all the good seeds that you have in your garden. And soul ties, when we've taken on these situations in our life and we've walked out through these failed relationships and we're just realizing that we're hanging on to these things that we need to get rid of, they can really be... they can just stop us moving forward for what God has for us. So much in the Bible, he tells us, give it to me. You know, my burden, give me your burden. My yoke is easy. My grace is sufficient. I think that's interesting. I think it's when Paul cries out to him, I think it's somewhere in Corinthians, and he said, please, take this from me. And Jesus says to Paul, my grace is sufficient. But you have to hand these things over. It's in that process of realizing that God's not looking at our past. We're the ones that are looking at our past. There's a really good illustration of not looking at your past in John 4. And this is the story of the woman at the well. Now, I'm going to read this two ways to you. I'm going to read it as it is in my Bible. And it says in John 4, verse 5, so he came to the city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, near the plot of ground where Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there, and therefore he was getting weary on his journey, so he sat down, and it was about the sixth hour, which is about midday. A woman from Samaria came up to draw water, and Jesus said, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman from Samaria said to him, how is that you ask me, being a Jew, you want a drink from me? For the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans, which I think is interesting again, because that proves that, Jesus is no respecter of person. He knew exactly where this woman was from. He knew exactly what was going to go on in her life and what was going on in her life. So she was a bit surprised. Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would be giving you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. And how am I going to get hold of this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who has given us this well to drink from? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. So it's interesting how they go on through this dialect, and as we know the end of the story, but I'm just going to take you back to the beginning of this, and I just want to read it to you in maybe a modern day version of how it would come across for some of us or somebody who's had maybe not the best background, okay? So think of it this way. This woman gets out of her house. She goes to get water from a well. She has to go at a certain time each day because nobody else will walk that journey with her. She's sneered at as she leaves her house. Other women start to gossip about her as she passes by with her bucket. As she goes up towards the well in the heat of the day, she is thinking to herself, what's life about? Why should I carry on? Nobody likes me. The guy I'm living with doesn't really care much about me. I've been divorced 4 times. And in that time, when she had been divorced 4 times, women weren't allowed to get divorced. That meant 4 times she'd been rejected. As she gets to this well, she just starts looking around, and there's this guy sitting there. Something's different about him. He has a really kind smile on his face. And he asked her to get him some water. She realizes he's not from the same culture as she's from. And she even asks him, why would you ask me? But he smiles at her and he doesn't judge her. He continues to ask her, would you like some living water? As she continues to talk to this person that we know is Jesus, the barriers start coming down. The past life, the mistakes, all the situations that she's been through just seem to disappear. She doesn't quite understand what's going on, but she is being drawn to the Father's heart. Because the father isn't interested in the failed marriage number one, the failed marriage number two, the failed marriage number three, failed marriage number four. He's not interested in the fact that she's living with somebody which puts her into another level of sin. What he wants to do is redeem her, because he knows if she can get out of her heart what's been holding her back, then she will be a powerful tool for him. So she thinks to herself, well, maybe I'll just take him up on his offer. Maybe I'll see what this living water is about. So she asks the question, Jesus, what is this water you're talking about? And as he starts to share his heart with her, she receives the revelation of the kingdom of God. At that point, her life was turned around. At that point, she realized her value. At that point, she didn't consider all the mistakes she'd made, all the hurts, all the lies, all the wounds, all the things that had kept her back in her life, all the things that people judged her for. I wouldn't have thought she'd ever was able to go and have a coffee with somebody in her town. It just never happened. So she took that opportunity and she drank the living water. Because Jesus didn't judge her. He just told her about her life. You see, when we read it in here, it almost sounds a little bit like Jesus was condemning her? Well, you've been married 4 times, and the guy you're living with is not your husband. But when you, if you read it that way in black and white, but if you read it in the way of the kingdom's heart and the Father's heart, you see that's not Jesus's idea at all. He wants her to move out of her past to her future. That is what Jesus wants for her. So she takes that up. She goes and takes that living water. And as Jesus starts speaking about her life, he starts releasing her. She starts digging up all those old hurts and those old lies and the wounds from the past, the rejection, the resentment, the guilt of not being wanted or needed. She starts getting those out of her life, and he starts feeding into her heart, like he wants to do with each and every one of you today. He wants to be able to replace anything that's binding you down. And I love the end of this story. Suddenly, this woman has a complete character change, doesn't she? Have any of you had that complete character change when you asked Jesus into your life? Was it that absolute, oh my days, suddenly everything changed? And she went back to her village and she gave them the opportunity to experience what she had. She gave them the opportunity to say, hey, come and listen to this man that has given me living water. And she really understood what that living water was, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came into her heart, came into her soul, and came into her spirit. She didn't worry that nobody was going to speak to her. Isn't that interesting? You know, I don't know how long her conversation was with Jesus. I don't know whether or not she was sitting there 2 or 3 hours or whether it had only been 10 minutes. It doesn't tell us. But by the time she got back to that village, she was transformed. And she said to people, hey, listen to me. Now, I would imagine that she had certain people still look at her and like, why are we going to listen to you? You know, certain people in groups gossiping about her. Are we going to listen to her? She got a new fella. What's she going to tell us? But there was something that drew them to her. And that's because she had a supernatural experience with Jesus. And that's what he wants to do with each and every one of us here and online. He wants to have that supernatural encounter with you because he doesn't want any of us to be bound up with things that are holding us from the past. You know, we're very good at putting band-aids on things, aren't we? Especially our emotions. It's easy to cover it up and put on that good old Christian face and say everything is wonderful. But it's like Jesus said to me over the course of my journey, well, you can't hide it from me, Sue. There's no, you can't have a secret from God because he knows everything. So you can pretend in front of other people, or you can decide, Lord, you know, I don't want this anymore. As I say, if you've had a life where you haven't had any failed relationships or things that have gone wrong in your life, work, you know, work situations, job failures, relationship failures, family situations. If you haven't had any of that, then I would just applaud you. But I would think there's quite a few people that have been through a little bit of stuff in their lives. And I do feel today is a day where it will be good just to put that slate clean. You know, especially if you're here and you're a student and you're coming to the end of the year, well, let's just get rid of it before you start next year, huh? You know, and if you're online, last time I spoke on Relationship U, I had an email from a lady who was watching in Texas somewhere. And it really touched my heart because she said, I was talking on something a little bit similar, but it was more to do with how we get the bitterness out of our hearts. And she had a situation, you know, with a family member that had been holding her back for years. And after listening to Relationship U, she wrote to this family member. And then this family member contacted her. And then she sent me another email to say she was going to go and visit this family member. I mean, that's what God wants, the restoration in areas. And that was an example of a situation that needed to be restored. Okay. Not always do relationships need to be restored, especially if they were damaging to you, either physically, mentally, or, you know, some form of abuse. But you can still be holding on to some hurts and some lies, and that's what God wants to get rid of so you can move forward. And I think sort of sometimes we feel that, how do we do this? We know we've got to deal with this situation. We know there is something that keeps coming up every time we're in a certain, you know, situation. Or if you've had a failed relationship and you've been hurt, sometimes you'll put a barrier up and that actually will stop you moving forward into a healthy relationship that God wants to have for you. I remember ministering to somebody that had been badly hurt in a relationship. They had been married and they just didn't feel they could trust somebody again. But God, they knew God had somebody else for them, but they had to walk past the hurt of having that trust taken away. Their trust had been broken. They didn't feel they could trust anybody. You know, there's some pretty strong scriptures in the Bible that guide us when it comes to having relationships, you know, out of marriage or just relationships that aren't healthy. And sometimes we can read these and be condemned, but I don't want you to listen to these and be condemned. What I want you to do is listen to these scriptures, and I've put them out, and just realize that actually they're warnings and their wisdom. But even so, there is a way out, okay? So Proverbs 5:22 says, "His own iniquities trapped the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin." 1 Corinthians 6:16, "He who is joined to a harlot is one body with her," and it says, "Flee from sexual immorality." In Matthew 5:28, it says, "Adultery in the heart, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman or a man lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart." Oh my goodness! That's a very strong scripture. Those are the types of scriptures that sometimes we want to just read over. We're like, well, phew, that's not me. But I can remember reading that. And it was like, oh, wow. That just says looking. That's pretty strong and pretty powerful, yeah? But Jesus puts those there for us as reminders of how to live our life in a way that he wants to live our life. He knew all those scriptures referred back to the woman at the well. They all referred back to her, but what was he after? He was after her redemption. He was after her restoration. Because each person has been given a divine appointment, a divine calling on their life. Each person has a plan, a God-filled plan for their life. And God knows the decisions we've made. But we just need to think about things that we've done in the past or things that we've held on to that maybe we shouldn't hold on to anymore. Is there that person that you often think about that doesn't bring good memories? Is there a certain things that you hang on to? I'll tell you something funny. When we were moving to come out here, I can remember sorting out stuff up in our loft, our roof, to pack away stuff. And I came across this old box and I thought, what's in here? And I undid it, and there I had photographs of old boyfriends and little trinkets, you know, little cuddly toys, little notes. And I can remember thinking, Sue, what are you doing? This has been up in the loft collecting dust. Why did I ever think it was valuable to keep stuff from previous relationships? What worth was that going to give to me? Did that help me in my marriage to know that, oh, I'll just hang on to this because you never know? Now, you know, I gave my life to Jesus after I was married. So, well, after I was married. So, but I'm just, I thought about that the other day. And I thought, I can remember looking at that box at the time going, I wonder what he's doing now. And I was like, what am I thinking? You know, but it is just that stirring up, because I was like, oh. And, you know, the devil is so easy to drip things in to your mind to go, yeah, I wonder what he's doing now. I wonder what job he has. So I just really want you today to think about, is there anything that I need to get rid of? Is there anything that's deep down in my heart? It can be a previous relationship. It can be a failed friendship. Sometimes failed friendships hurt so much when they go wrong, especially if they are Christians. And I'm sorry, sometimes Christians are horrible to each other. We shouldn't be. But it's that old soul and that flesh that gets in the way. So, you know, failed work situations. You know, you were doing something that you thought you were doing great. And this, you know, I'm really doing this job great. And then suddenly somebody comes along and takes your legs from underneath you. And you're like, seriously? You know, and I've spoken to a lot of people that have had really tragic stuff happened in ministry and in churches where people have got hurt in those types of situations where they felt used and abused and that type of thing. And we shouldn't be doing that as Christians. Jesus never did. If you don't remember anything today, look at the woman in the well in a different light next time you read that parable. Because it's powerful how Jesus looked at her. Yeah? So what I'm going to ask you to do is, it's sort of what I call a prophetic prayer. And you can do this online. And we're going to have some time of ministry. And then we're going to have some time of Q&A. And if I don't know the answer to the question, Tanera is going to answer them for us. But I want you to think about something of, is there anything that is a bad seed in my heart? Is there any of those weeds? Think of that vine weed. Are there any of those weeds that I need to suffocate, which is quite a strong word. So I was praying how to do this, and Jesus gave me, which sometimes he does, an image of how we're to do this. So I'm going to ask you to do this with me. I'm going to ask the people here to stand up. And what I'd like you to do is I just want you to imagine, and you can do this online as well, I want you to imagine a trash bag in front of you, like big black trash bag, okay? So I want you to open this trash bag, and you can do this online as well. And I want you to think about any ungodly soul ties that need to go into that trash bag. Okay? And we're going to pray this prayer together. Father, if I have formed any ungodly soul ties with any of the following people in any manner, I ask you to forgive me. I choose to free my mind, my will, and my emotions to each of the following people I have named. And you can just quietly think of the people you have named and put them inside that trash bag. Please forgive me for holding any unforgiveness towards them. I forgive them now. And I ask you to bless them with your truth to set them free. I release them to you now, Father. And I put the blood of Jesus between myself and each person I have named, as well as any demon that has had any influence in this situation. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for taking this trash bag. Now, in your imagination, I want you to picture Jesus taking that trash bag and tying it in a tight knot. And I want you to picture Jesus throwing that trash bag over his shoulder and walking away with it. I thank you, Jesus, that you have taken that trash bag, and because you've tied a knot in it, you have suffocated any of those soul ties. And we release those to you now, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for the hearts that have been released here today and online, and that will be released in the future when people are watching in the archives. I thank you, Jesus, that your word is fresh and new each day. And as I just close today, I thank you that people will look and read the woman at the well with just slightly different lenses through your lenses, Jesus, and realize the living water that you give us so that we don't have to have these areas in our hearts that can hold us back. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. There's just one more slide I want to show you, a couple of resources, a couple of good books that would really help you if you have struggled in this area. And they are, you know, there's a book there, Sozo, Battlefields of the Mind by Joyce Myers, and I've written a story on restoration that I went through. And I've got a couple of free books here just to hand out to anybody who would like one of these, if anybody wants one of these. Yeah, you can have one. And Tanera, did you want to hand one out? That takes you on the journey of my journey through Charis, but also the restoration we went in. So thank you for listening to the subject today, and I hope and pray that you've been able to have some form of freedom, or you've taken something that you will be able to help somebody else walk through. So I hand over to Nera.
Amen. What an awesome time of ministry. I know I was blessed. I took some notes and some questions I might ask you later. What a powerful time. And so guys, please just thank you so much, Sue. Please thank with me Miss Sue Nautman so much for coming and ministering. And I know we were all blessed. Amen. And I can tell you were blessed because good job, guys. You sent in some great questions. I got a lot of questions. We'll see if we have enough time. So we're going to take some time to answer questions. I do want to let our live stream audience know, as well as our on-campus audience, while we're answering questions, you can still send in your questions. I can still receive those. We still have time to answer them. So text us at 719-212-2555, or you can email us at livequestions@awmi.net. So please, or .com. I don't remember. Either way, it's on the screen. There you go. Oh, awmcaris.com. There we go. So feel free to send those in. So Miss Sue, are you ready for your questions?
Okay.
So our first question. It says, I am a female Charis student, and I met a guy, best friend, here. I thought I heard from God about him, and I believe God told me he's going to be my spouse. We've been best friends for 2 years now, but he hasn't admitted any feelings towards me. This has been hard on me because we've spent so much time together just talking, getting to know each other, but yet we've not had a discussion around dating. What hurts most is I've already given my heart to this man who hasn't done anything to commit towards me. Do you have any wisdom for the situation?
Well, sometimes we do say Charis Bridal College, not. I think usually when you're in that type of situation, even if you feel this is God's told you, God wouldn't just tell you, that God would tell him as well.
Amen. That's right.
So it has to be a mutual feeling. And my advice to you is the fact that you are going to continue to get quite emotionally involved with this gentleman. And if he's not willing to reciprocate that in the way that she wants it reciprocated, then you, for your own heart, you're going to have to maybe back away. Because, and I know this probably like, oh my goodness, this is my God-given person. There are so many people we see, I've been here for sort of 10 years now, I've seen so many people go down this journey, and it doesn't always end in wedding bells. And I know that's sort of sad to hear. So my advice to you would be take it back to the Lord and ask him to reconfirm the situation. Because it could just be a godly friendship, or it could just be it's going to grow into a God, you know, it's going to continue as a godly friendship, and then there's going to be some romance coming. And also, what is his heart? Sometimes, if you have a really good friendship, like this is a really good friendship, and she feels she can trust him, pray to God and ask, should I approach it? Should I say to him, I have these feelings, how are you feeling? Because isn't it better to know, ladies, how the feeling is?
Yeah.
I would rather know.
Yeah.
You know, we use a bit like bindweed, there's an expression in England, we say, am I barking up the wrong tree?
Right.
So that would be my advice to her. You know, she's got to take it back to the Lord. Because, you know, our soul and our emotions are very powerful and very strong, and they can convince us very strongly of something.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true. And if I can just add to that, as a Charis female student who's also been through that same thing, is like, I think God spoke. Well, he got married, so I missed it. Just FYI on that one, total vulnerability. And it really, I think in my experience, it came to a place of, you know what, before I ever give my heart to somebody, my heart belongs to the Lord first and foremost. And so as I've given my heart to the Lord, if a door opens again with another person, my heart will always belong to the Lord. And I've given the Lord complete privilege to say, Lord, you can give my heart when it's the right person and the right time. But also, if there's not a commitment from the other person, it's not time to give your heart. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think those are just some wise pieces to bring along the way, is if you have a good friendship and it's moving along in a friendship and you're starting to recognize there's this emotional connection now taking place, you need to really be on guard to take it to the Lord,
yeah,
because that's where you probably need to take your step back before that connection becomes a soul tie.
Yeah. And it's very easily done. And, you know, in this type of environment, you can get very much bowled along with, oh, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And we're both on the same page. And, you know, yeah. So, you know, yeah. He'll guide her.
He will.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit is so good. He knows how to heal and he knows how to walk you through those things. Amen. But I will just say this too. Sue said something really good, which is praying about, should I open my heart and share him how I'm feeling? Mm-hmm. I always caution women against that unless you feel like you really have peace from the Lord to do that. But if you do, and his response is that he does not have that same level of interest, then you have to be willing to receive it and you have to be willing to step back from that relationship. Yeah. And that's the part we typically don't want to do. We want to say, well, bless God, I'm going to keep trusting and praying, and you keep pursuing and declaring after he's already told you no.
Yeah.
So you have to also be willing to let it go.
Yeah. And, you know, I always go with those things. It's got to be that peace. If you go to the Lord and say, you know, shall I have that difficult conversation? Because, not being funny, guys, sometimes you can be oblivious to how their females are feeling, okay? Because we're a lot more feelers and that type of thing. So, you know, it'd be like, oh my goodness, I just thought we were mates and you enjoyed having coffee. I had no idea you felt like that. Yeah. So, you know, to protect your own heart, you probably do need to find out.
Yeah.
I think that's wisdom. Ready for your next question? Okay. It says, how do you move forward in Christ and experience freedom that the woman at the well experienced, even though the failed relationship was your fault? I was told by the person to never speak to them again, but oftentimes I feel I should reach back out. How do you know when restoration of a failed relationship or friendship is not God's best for you? No, there was two questions in there.
Yeah, so there's two questions in there. So the first one is sometimes people like forgiveness. Sometimes people don't want to accept it. That's not your issue. The issue is, are you willing to release them back to God? Like it says, we're not here to judge. So, you know, if you've like, and it's been your fault. So this could be two aspects of this. The relationship failed, you know, or there was some form of, you know, unfaithfulness in the relationship, which was your fault. So either one of those is, if your heart has been connected to God and that you can say to him, I forgive myself, but I release that person to you to minister to. So it's forgiving yourselves. A lot of the time I speak to people that just can't forgive themselves, a bit like the woman at the well, for the mistakes that they feel they've made. You know, I did this. I was the one that broke up the marriage. I was the one that left my children. I spoke to somebody the other month like that, and I said, yes. So you can go to them and ask them for forgiveness, but you're not responsible for their reactions. They might still not accept it, but you've offered it.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've released it back to God, because it's up to God to deal with them. We it's a bit like when it comes to healing, it's not us,
yeah.
It's Jesus. And it's the same when it comes to emotional healing. We have to release it and hand it over and let God do what he wants to do. And what was the other part of the question?
So the last part of the question was, how do you know when the restoration of a failed relationship or friendship is not God's best for you, for there to be a restoration after that?
So, well, I believe that God always wants restoration. So to believe that it's not God's best for you would mean that you should have stayed in the relationship. Is that what she's saying?
Yeah, I think it's if after a failed relationship or friendship, you break up, and then how do you, I would probably say it's probably better to answer this way rather than do I know if we should have restoration or not?
Right.
I think probably more is the question, yeah. Or maybe even the timing of when do you know it's right for restoration.
Okay. So again, a lot of that time is just praying. You've just really got to seek the Lord on that. But, you know, and I think you know in your heart, because some people, you know, restoration can happen within weeks. Sometimes it's years. You know, I've spoken to somebody that didn't speak to a family member for 25 years. And then they just prayed and they released them to God. And then there was a supernatural connection again. But sometimes there isn't. And if there isn't, then we just have to be able to realize that God's got it.
Yeah.
And we have to, again, let it go.
That's good. Well, and if I can just brag on Sue for a minute here. There was one meeting we were in a while ago. It was probably a good couple of years ago. Because I had had an 11-year friendship break up, and it was really hard. I remember if we talked about it. And we prayed about it, and, I mean, I was really hurt over it. And you had said to me, you said, Tanara, this isn't forever. God's going to bring this back around, and he's going to restore it. And I remember after hearing that, I was like, I have no idea how. I was like, I can't even imagine what restoration could even look like. But no joke, 2 years almost to the day that you told me that, God restored our friendship. And it was really in that place of I didn't go pursue it. I gave it to the Lord and I said, Lord, you do it when it's time. I'm just going to move forward with you. And then let alone one day at church, after church, she's there. She sees me. We hug, we cry for like an hour, and just God just healed and restored our friendship. And so it really is when it comes down to how do I know, you know, if it's God's will to restore. I agree with you, Sue. I believe it's always God's will to restore. But I think it always comes down to when is the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, God, and God's timing is never our timing, as we know, which is another hard thing that we have to deal with. And, you know, it sounds really easy. And a lot of people say, well, it can't just be, I've just got to hand it over. But it really is. Because if we don't hand things over on the emotional side, then we take that part off the cross. We take that part off the cross. And Jesus died for it all. And sometimes we think, well, he's not going to be bothered about that really emotional thing or that fact that I fell out with that old school friend and, you know, it's just been eating away at me all these years. But, you know, he is.
Yes.
But it is just that handing over, which is so, I mean, it's easy to say, and I know it's harder to do, but if you can just get yourself into that place of Jesus, I can't do this. A lot of the time when you read through the Old Testament, I mean, a lot of those stories of the Israelites was they kept going off in their own way. They kept going off and idolizing all these other gods. And then they cry out to God and he would be faithful and come back and restore them. It's the same thing, though even better for us living in the New Testament, because we've not only got the fact that God always will restore it, if we cry out to him, we've got the fact that Jesus took it on the cross.
Yes, amen. He did take it on the cross. That's powerful. Amen. So I have another question for you. It says, what is the boundary of healing from a soul tie and stepping away, but desiring to not lose a family relationship? The scenario is that my mom is struggling with being my friend and not being my mom who dictates my life course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those really close relationships, and especially if you've had something like that, that sounds like it's been a dominating relationship in your life. It is still loving your mother, but it's reinforcing where you are now in this relationship. Like, your mum, I love you, but I have my own life, and the only person that's telling me what to do now is God. And, you know, but, you know, hey, we can meet for coffee. We can go and do this. And it, again, with that one, it's healthy boundaries. God loves healthy boundaries,
amen.
Especially if you're coming out of a relationship that has been very controlling.
Yes, that's
and right. Sometimes some of those family relationships, you know, you do have to, you know, as parents, sometimes it is hard to let go, but you have to let go. And she's going to help her mum do that more by putting in those healthy boundaries in a loving way.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's so much wisdom, because I know sometimes depending on the person's emotional maturity, it can be hard to receive boundaries from your child.
Yes.
So can I just ask you to speak in a little bit about, so if you speak to the parents, how do you receive well when you've got your children placing boundaries for you? Because this is one thing I've loved, and again, just kind of bragging on you, but I've loved watching you walk that out with Amy. Mm-hmm. Just now that she's married and she has a family of her own, just how you guys have been able to transition from, you know, we're mom and dad, you know, helping dictate the course of your life to we're your friends, right?
Yeah.
And you've done that beautifully. So.
Yeah, and it's been a learning curve. An important fact, I think, sort of, you know, we're heading into another transition time coming up because they're moving out from where they've been with us. But I think more than anything is just that you have to value them as individuals, and you have to realize that they have their own lives. And it is hard as parents, sitting in the parent seat, because, you know, sometimes you're like, don't do that. That's going to really hurt you, or that's not going to benefit you. And you want to run in and make it better. But they do have to, you know, learn from their own life experiences, like we did. So, you know, and I think sort of, you know, the funny situation we're in at the moment is obviously having our granddaughter there as well. And already at 15, 16 months, she's testing the boundaries because she already knows, oh, Nana and Papa, I got them here and I can do anything. But Mom and Dad are the, you know, so we've had to be on occasions where they've gone to reprimand her. I mean, I'm going, and she immediately knows to look at me. And I'm like, no, I can't. This could cause conflict in our environment, because I want to run and give her a cuddle because she's just been told no by Mummy, and she's looking at Nana to say yes. So, you know, again, it's just respecting where they are in those relationships. And it's a work in progress. We're all in a work in progress. None of us have got it right.
Oh, that's really good. We're all a work in progress. And I think speaking from the child to the parent side, I just encourage you that it's the aspect of you're setting boundaries, but you're still having respectful speech and conversation, even if you're having to hold a firm line. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm very respectful in my speech to my parents, even when I have to hold firm lines with them of like, hey, I'm an adult now. I'm going to talk to the Lord about making those decisions, but I appreciate your input. I'll still even pursue their wisdom because they've lived more life than I have. They know things I don't know. So I'll pursue their wisdom, but I may not always do what they recommend or what they say. And so it's also in my speech towards them, how do I honor, how do I respect them, but still hold a boundary line of my first priority is honoring the Lord and doing what he says. Yeah. And then secondary to that is honoring my parents.
Yeah, no, that's great, Nara. And I think, you know, sometimes it is having that sort of reaction because, you know, even now, you know, sometimes your parents will say, my parents will say things and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm 53, you know. But it's just like, okay, yeah, no, I get it, you know. Mm-hmm. So you do have to come to it from that
aspect. Beautiful. So I have a new question for you. And it says, I have a work colleague that I'm enjoying getting to know. How do I balance building a work relationship but not crossing the boundary lines of creating an emotional connection? And then secondary to that is, do all emotional connections lead to soul ties?
It depends on, I'll probably answer the second part.
I know, there's kind of two parts.
Yeah, so the set, because but there's godly soul ties and ungodly soul ties. Yeah. So if you're emotionally involved with somebody, you're going to be connected through your soul. Mm-hmm. That's what your soul is there for. So, you know, that yes, there will be. But, you know, like I explained, you know, there are godly soul ties. There are healthy soul ties. Mm-hmm. And those are the relationships that, yes, you want to build on. Now, with going back to the work one, I take it this is a male-female.
It doesn't say, but that's my assumption. Okay, so let's assume male, female.
Yeah, we'll assume that. So again, you know, in that work environment, when you're working sort of with a work colleague, and you're obviously, she sounds like she's sort of feeling something towards the male colleague.
I think that's why.
And yeah, you know yourself when that's starting to happen. So it's one of those things that you need to go to the Lord again and say, Lord, you know, help me in this situation. Is this just going to develop into a good friendship where we can work really strongly together and we can have a laugh and it's going to be good? Or, you know, do I need to protect my heart so I don't go in that other areas? Because, you know, it's when you read certain reports and statistics, you can be more time in work with a colleague than you can be with your spouse. Yeah. It's quite frightening, really. You know, you can see why certain things in workplaces happen and go on, because you're spending more time with that person than you are spending with your significant half. So again, it's that work balance that you have to go. But I think she probably needs to spend time just praying and seeking the Lord, because again, a bit like the girl at the very beginning, you know, she could get herself into a situation where she gets emotionally involved with something that's not going anywhere.
Right. That's wisdom. And I bring it back to even what you said in the first answer was giving it back to the Lord, praying about it and giving it to the Lord. And then another thing I like to say to young ladies, because I say it to myself, so I'm going to say it to you, but it's don't go where you're not invited. So if you've not been invited into a relationship, you are not allowed to imagine a relationship with that person. Because that's where you begin to create those soul ties, is we start imagining and dreaming. And next thing you know, you've named your five kids, and he doesn't even know you're interested.
Yep.
So there comes that aspect of really taking a hold of any vain imaginations, right? And letting the Lord lead you. And seriously, women, God created men as the pursuer. And so you can sit back and say, Lord, you have my heart. You can send the right man after me to pursue me when the timing is right. And until that point, I'm going to trust my heart to the Lord. And I don't need to be going out and pursuing men or trying to make sure I've given my heart away and I'm fully on display, right? The Holy Spirit knows how to highlight me to the right person at the right time. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, I have another question for you. I think I have time for a couple more. So this one says, you shared about the seeds that fall on soil that we aren't paying attention to and seeds falling on them and growing bad roots. So how do I recognize when I have roots growing that need to be dealt with?
Well, again, I think when you're in those situations, it's more that if there is something that niggles at you. You know, why do I react every time either that person walks in the room or I see a couple? The classic one is, why do I react that way when I hear somebody's got engaged? Somebody said that to me. Why do I always react that way when I hear somebody's got engaged? And I'm like, that's because, you know, there's some form of rejection there, or that, you know, it's never going to be me, Lord. All those things that we do. And when we think of those things, and we know the power of our mind and our thoughts, you know, when we think on those things, then we are feeding those bad seeds. And, you know, we neglect that part of our hearts because we don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's that soil that's dry or untended, because we don't want to deal with it. We want to concentrate on putting good seeds in our heart.
Yeah, well, that's good. So it was secondary to that question, and I think you kind of already answered, but it says, how do I prevent bad seeds from taking root in me?
I think it's dealing with things up front. I mean, it depends on your type of personality. I'm a bit of a outward processor. So it's very interesting when I teach, because I'm processing as I'm teaching, or trying to anyway. And if you're an outward processor, when things come in, you tend to outward process them and you need to get it out. It's slightly harder for people who are more internal processors. People who take those situations in on their hearts. And you get that, you know, because sometimes you can hold on to things that you shouldn't hold on to. Because if you're an outward processor, bleh, it's out there. Then you usually have to deal with it. It's like, oh my goodness, why did I spill that out everywhere? But if you're an inward processor, sometimes it can go down deep and it can take a little longer to walk through. But again, you walk through that with the Lord. It's like, Lord, you know, why am I dealing with that? Those types of relationships are very interesting when you're married. I'm an outward processor, so Brian knows exactly everything I'm feeling. And good and bad, and he's more of an internal processor. But in point of fact, that, you know, I have to really work hard to get it out of his heart what he's actually feeling.
Yeah.
You know, so
good.
No, I think that's beautiful. And a beautiful design, too, of how you guys can use your giftings for each other. That's good. So the next question I have for you, it says, is it necessary to break soul ties with every person? Let me put it this way. Let me reword this for you because this is a little bit confusing. So is it necessary to name every person that you need to break soul ties with? There are some people I know I have soul ties with, but I can't remember everyone's name.
Well, that's okay because the Lord can. So that's easy. And really, you know, God gave me that prophetic act. And the reason I love that is because it's a visual thing for you to do. So visually, you're going to think about that, where I was talking about the vine weed and how it had to be suffocated. Mm-hmm. So what we did was what I call a prophetic prayer act. And it's a visual for you to take back and do. The Lord knows everything. That's why I said, you know, when I was trying to have a conversation with the Lord and he's like, Sue, why have a secret? I know everything. So no, you don't have to name every single person because I know it's like what was that boy called in fifth grade that I played kiss chase with and then fancied for the next 3 years. You know, I'm not saying that. Yeah. What I'm saying is the fact that, you know, who came to mind? Who came to mind in that exercise? And then, you know, and that again, it's going back to the Lord and going, okay, Lord, is there anybody?
Yeah.
You know, there might not be anybody, but it's just a tool to use.
Amen. And it's a powerful tool. I think that's very good. So my next question to you, and says, how can I heal from a broken relationship when I'm still required to see this person due to our work/school situation?
Oh yeah, that's horrible. And I'm just going to be open. That's horrible when we have to walk through that. You know, a couple of things, you know, scripturally, God's given you an armor to put on. And that's not just in warfare, that's in protection as well. And think about the breastplate that goes over your heart. So scripturally wise, God can give you what you need. And again, he will give you what you need when you ask him. It's not easy to still see that person on a basis when you're dealing with stuff. I can remember a situation where there was this couple and they had realized there was some unfaithfulness in their marriage. And the wife forgave the husband. It was very powerful. But she knew the people that he'd been unfaithful with. And two or three of them she would still come across. So it's like, how do I deal with that one? And really you have to, the power of forgiveness and blessing them will free that situation. It's so powerful. And it actually will take away the pain that she's dealing with. If she can say, Lord, you know, I forgive them for the hurt and the rejection. And Lord, I ask you to bless them. And I thank you that you are restoring my soul.
Amen. Amen. I think that's powerful. And I think knowing too that we can thank the Lord already for restoring our soul as he walks with us through that. Amen. All right. So my next question for you. And I really hope you can follow this better than I can. But the question says, how can I help someone realize that their season is over and it's time to move forward? Is it possibly a soul tie that keeps them stuck in their job?
So I'm sort of thinking about this. So this person's in a job that's probably not good for them and their friend wants them to leave.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like their friend is probably recognizing or maybe counseling them in this season, but recognizing your season in this is over. It's time to move forward to what God has next. And the person's feeling maybe in that stuck place.
Yeah, and I think that's hard because again, everything, God does things in seasons and his timing. And sometimes it does take our friends and our loved ones to tell us, time out. You know, you need to move on from this situation because it's not doing you any good. And, you know, that's where wise counsel does come in. And I think for that person, it's just being really honest with that person and saying, look, you know, this obviously isn't working out for you. You're not happy. So why don't we pray together? Because have you thought that maybe your season is done? So you go to them with a ministry mind. Let's pray together, because you need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give them the answer. And the Holy Spirit will. Sometimes it is so hard for people to hold on to work situations, especially if this happens to be a ministry situation, because it's like, Lord, I'm doing this for you.
Right, that's good.
But God holds everything so, he holds everything fluid in his hands on that situation, and he wants the best for that person. And he already has the next assignment. But he can't move that person into the next assignment until they're willing to give up what they're in.
That's really good. I love that. God sometimes can't move them into the next assignment until they're willing to let it go. And I think
it's free will.
It really is.
He gave us.
Right. No, I think that's powerful in knowing too that that as a friend, the friend who's asking this, I think that's where you have that beautiful place of asking, like, I love that. Come in ministry. They need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so being able to bring that aspect to it, I love. Okay, so I have time. I think I'm going to try and throw in one more question for you. So give me a minute, because this is a really, really long one. So hold on, I'm trying to find the question in it. It says, I've made new friends within the year, and we've gotten close, but at least 1 month we'll disagree strongly about something, and I'm always the one that talks it out with her. She's gone through some trauma in the past, so I believe it's affected how she goes through relationships. It has recently gotten bad again, and I'm checked out at this point, because I'm always having to be the one to initiate restoration. Should I talk it out with her again to see if I can help, or should I take this time to stop trying and maybe step back from the relationship?
Yes. It sounds like she's already identified that there's been some trauma. And sometimes, when people have had trauma in a relationship or trauma in their life, they keep going back round, and it does sound like there's a trauma probably connected to some sort of a soul tie there, because they're going back round to that situation. And some people, not saying this person, but some people actually hang on to that trauma. It becomes part of their identity, and then they can become a victim of. But that victim. Actually, their mentality actually gives them the attention from the friend. So she's in this situation. So really there's two ways, is giving the friend some sort of more directive, hey, have you ever thought of going to get some counsel, some ministry that can really help you doing this? Because, let's be open and honest, we're going around the same mountain, which usually happens with these types of situations. So, I'm willing to help you look into finding out if there's somewhere that we can get you help. Yeah, because, people love to identify with things that have become so familiar to them, that those sort of things that they want to hang on to, because it's become part of them. Hence the reason of the ungodly soul ties becoming so powerful, because it's what they've been identifying themselves in. But equally, if they're not willing to receive, this is where our free will comes in, which is such a pain. I mean, one day when I get up there, I'm going to say, God, why did you give us free will? Life would have been so much easier if we didn't have free will. But, we wouldn't be here now if we didn't have free will. So, she's got a choice, this friend. She can either pursue and help her and try and direct her into some form of more ministry counseling led that will help her walk through the trauma, because you want to get her free.
Right.
Or the other option is, if she's reluctant, it might be a time for, pray about it, but God, do we need some time out? Mm-hmm. Do we need some time out?
Right.
Is that going to benefit me and her? So again, it's just finding wisdom from God, really, in those situations.
Oh, that's such wisdom, too. And I know, and I apologize, I can't think of this scripture now that talks about us being in people's lives to help bring them to restoration. Mm-hmm. But one thing I heard Dr. Henry Cloud talk about is we are in people's life to help bring them to restoration, but not to be victims of their trauma. Mm-hmm. So I think it's in that same way as what you're saying is if you're at a place, the one who sent in this question, if you're at a place where you're like, ugh, do I still want to keep pursuing this friendship because it feels very one-sided and I'm always having to walk them through their stuff. I think that's that place where first you get with the Lord and you settle your heart. And then I think second, like you said, too, I love that, just being able to say, okay, am I willing to have the harder conversation with a friend to show them and highlight where it looks like the issue is, to say, hey, we keep circling this mountain. Here's what's up. I really feel like this needs to be dealt with. Now, you're not responsible for their response. Their response, their responsibility, right? Yeah. So they'll have their response, hopefully one of desiring that, but you don't have to suffer at their hand, right, because of the fact of their needing to go through the process. But you ask the Lord, are you to be part of this healing redemption story for them, or are you someone to just help point it out to them, they move on and you move on, yeah, right? But the Holy Spirit can guide you in that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And I think it's understanding, you know, Jesus' heart for everybody is, you know, that restoration and, you know, redemption that's ours, and understanding the power that comes with that. So it's, how can I help that person get through that? But one thing I would say is you need to be healthy first. So that's why today was important. You know, is there anything, Lord, that you want me to deal with? Is there anything you want me to get rid of? Is there anything that's holding me back? Because, you know, just like that woman at the well, sometimes we can just be heavily burdened by all the stuff that we're carrying. And that's not God's heart for us. He just wants us to receive what he has for us. Because we all have a plan. You know, we've all made mistakes in the past. Like I said to you in the beginning, you know, gosh, I'd be lying if I said I'd lived that perfect, pure life. But it's identifying, okay, I made mistakes, but that's not what I live in now. I know my value. I know my worth. Am I still going to make probably silly decisions? Hopefully not as bad as the ones I made before. Amen. I became born again. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I never condemn anybody who comes to me and go, yeah, but I've done this. Because I always think Jesus is bigger. Amen. If they're willing.
Yeah, always. That's beautiful. Amen. Well, Sue, thank you so much for your ministry today. It's powerful to learning how to dig up those roots and be able to let the Lord plant the seed of the word in our hearts today. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you were blessed by this, you can go to awmi.net/relationship and you can go watch the replay. I'd like to let our online audience know, we'd like to encourage you, if you've really been blessed by this, if you'd like to call in for some prayer agreement, please contact our prayer ministry at 719-635-1111. We've got prayer ministers ready to pray with you. For those of you here on campus, I believe we have prayer ministers here who will be joining us up at the front to pray for you if you have anything you'd like to receive prayer for. But thank you guys so much for being with us. You have a wonderful, blessed week.
Thank you.